Do you have an idea for a podcast, but you don't know where to start? Maybe you're overwhelmed by all the tech or you're convinced nobody will actually listen to you. Well, I'm Shauna Game. After 9.5 years as a professional podcaster, at this show, Everyone's Talking Money, and 25 million downloads later, let me tell you the secret to a profitable podcast. It is building a solid foundation, your podcast roadmap before you launch. That's why I created the Podcaster Class, a fast-paced group cohort podcasting for profit 8-week style MBA program. The Podcaster Class is immersive, comprehensive, and insanely motivational. If you want to create a podcast, DIYing a launch is just not the way to go. In the Podcaster Class, you'll get the tools, tips, and strategies to create a podcast that resonates with listeners and one you can be proud of. Get this, 90% of podcasters never make it to episode 3. That's 2.8 million podcasters who just quit. So to be a top podcaster, you only need to publish 21 episodes, but you got to make them good. So in the Podcaster Class, I'm taking the mystery out of how to create, launch, and profit from your podcast so you can create a top 1% podcast just like this one. The May cohort is now open for enrollment. Classes start May 22nd. There are only 15 spots open. You are going to learn podcasting with me and 14 other amazing people. You can learn all the details at thepodcasterclass.com. Use code podcast when you sign up for $100 off. That's thepodcasterclass.com. You know I'm a big fan of enjoying life while still being smart financially. That's why I love ButcherBox. I can get a variety of high-quality meat, seafood, chicken, and pork at an amazing value, all with exclusive member deals delivered to my door with free shipping always. One thing I just never wanted to cut out of my spending plan is eating good food. And with ButcherBox, I don't have to, and neither do you. Where else can you get free protein for a whole year? Yes, you heard that right. One of my favorite go-to dinners is a salmon bowl. I'm not even a huge salmon lover, but ButcherBox's wild-caught salmon is oh so good. I make a nice little marinade, saute some veggies, cook the salmon, and throw in some Weiss. And it is an amazing dinner. If you want to take less trips to the grocery store and always have prepared meat in the freezer for a lot less money, you need ButcherBox in your life. Sign up at butcherbox.com/ETM and get our special deal. ButcherBox is offering our listeners a free for a year offer plus an additional $20 off. You can choose salmon, chicken breast, or steak tips free in every order for a year. Sign up today at butcherbox.com/ETM. Hey, I'm Shauna Compton-Game. This is Millennial Money, and today we're talking saying I do with student loans.
Millennial Money with Shauna Compton-Game. It will expand your brain.
Appropriate question these days is, who doesn't have student loan debt, right? If you're in your 20s and your early 30s, it is quite conceivable that the majority of you listening to this podcast do have some sort of student loan debt, varying to degrees, of course, and depending on what school you went to and maybe, you know, whether it was undergrad or master's degree debt. But I mean, it's just so expensive to get any type of degree, even if you're just going to an online school these days. You know, it can be just as expensive as a private college. And, you know, those loans, obviously, if you have them and you're paying them off, they have a real impact on your life. They really can inhibit you, you know, trying to reach all of these amazing goals that you want to reach. But, you know, there's a lot of questions about what happens when you get married? You know, does that or does that not affect your student loan? Well, in the past, there used to only be a couple of different payment methods for your student loan, right? And when I graduated from my master's degree, that was the case. There was only a few options to choose from. And so when I got married, I wasn't really thinking, okay, how would this actually affect, you know, my student loan? It was just pretty much my student loan was my student loan. I made the payment and I made the payments until the student loan was paid off, right? And one thing I did definitely learn about your student loans is when you're going through divorce, your student loan is your debt and your debt only, right? So if you're married and let's say you've combined different credit cards or different loans, different types of debts that you have, you know, usually in a divorce, those are somehow split up between the two parties. Either, you know, you do a 50-50 split, or maybe you take more, maybe you take less. It just depends on, again, kind of where you live and what the debt is and who's working. I mean, there's so many different factors, but the point is that most every kind of debt you split somehow, but student loan debt. Your student loan is always and forever attached to you. It's not something that you can negotiate away, right? It is pretty much what you're going to have to pay for. So I always tell people with like a grain of salt, you know, if you're getting married and maybe you're not having the best relationship before you're getting married and things are a little bit rocky, you're not even sure if you should get married, and you have a lot of student loan debt, just so you know, that debt is always going to be attached to you, right? So it's not something where you can like get married and then, you know, in a year or two you get divorced and you're thinking, okay, well, you know, my spouse or soon to be ex-spouse, they're going to take half of my student loan debt. Doesn't work that way with student loans. And so getting married, it can and cannot necessarily have an impact on your student loans. And this is where it gets really tricky these days, and where I think you need to really like ask yourself some questions ahead of time to think about this. Not that this is necessarily going to stop you from getting married, but I think that, you know, you need to have some sort of grasp on the impact that this could have on your budget going forward. Because getting married is supposed to be like a super joyful, super happy time. In fact, if it's not that when you're getting married, I urge you to kind of like, I'm waving the caution flag to you, because this is the time where it's supposed to be super fun and super exciting. Not that you won't have some stress around, you know, maybe the wedding you're planning, or I don't know, family stress, things like that. But for the most part, you and your future spouse, you guys should be like elated around your wedding. I mean, it should be so super exciting, because there's a lot of crap that comes down the line after you get married. And you got to make sure that the good starts out really good in the beginning, right? So the key question to ask really when you're thinking about this question is, can marriage impact my student loans? Is what type of repayment plan are you on now? Because there's not one size fits all, right? There are so many different types of repayment plans nowadays that's why, you know, we can't just like blatant statement and say, okay, this will or this won't have an impact on your student loans getting married. And also, you know, it really reinforces going and hiring a certified financial planner for an hour, somebody who's really, really knowledgeable at this kind of stuff, that can really look at your entire situation, look at your future spouse's situation, and help you get some answers that really are specific to your own situation, all right? In those moments when money is just not moving as fast as your dreams, Earnin provides the financial momentum you need to keep moving forward. Earnin is an app that gives you access to your pay as you work, up to $100 per day or up to $750 per pay period. You just download the Earnin app and verify your paycheck. Then you access up to $100 a day as you work, and you can leave an optional tip. Any money you access plus tips are automatically repaid from your next paycheck. I honestly would use Earnin in lots of different ways, but what's on my mind recently is, I need a night out. I need some good tacos to sip on a few virgin margaritas and celebrate you all helping this podcast earn 26 million downloads. Make Earnin a part of your financial routine and join Earnin's over 3.5 million customers who say things like, when I think about Earnin, I think about financial stability and security. Gives me a lot of peace of mind. Download Earnin today, spelled E-A-R-N-I-N, in the Google Play or Apple App Store. When you download the Earnin app, type in Talkin' Money under podcast when you sign up. It will really help the show. Talkin' Money under podcast. Earnin is a financial technology company, not a bank, subject to your available earnings, daily max, pay period max, and location. See earnin.com/TOS for details. Bank products are issued by Evolve Bank & Trust, member FDIC. I'm sorry, but I have the best dog ever. Her name is Winnie Stardust. She is a mini golden mountain doodle, full of life, and I would do just about anything to keep her happy, healthy, and safe. Today's episode is sponsored by the ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program. Your pet is part of your family, and you want to do the best for them. But vet bills can really add up. We jokingly keep telling Winnie she needs to get a job to pay for her vet bill. That's why you should check out pet insurance. And with ASPCA Pet Health Insurance, you can focus on the care your pet deserves and cover what matters most. The ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program offers customized accident and illness plans, making it easier for pet parents like you to help your pet get the care they need. The ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program has been around for over 18 years, and they've helped more than 600,000 pets during that time. They allow you to customize your plan, helping to ensure that your pet's plan is as unique as they are. Because vet bills can really add up, especially when you are least expecting it. It's simple. Use their app to submit a claim, and you'll receive reimbursement for eligible vet bills directly into your bank account. To explore coverage, visit aspcapetinsurance.com/etm. That's aspcapetinsurance.com/etm. Again, that's aspcapetinsurance.com/etm. This is a paid advertisement. Insurance is underwritten by either Independent American Insurance Company or United States Fire Insurance Company and produced by PTZ Insurance Agency Limited. The ASPCA is not an insurer, is not engaged in the business of insurance. So if you're on the standard 10-year repayment plan for your student loans, getting married is not going to impact them, right? You have this straight kind of straight line payoff plan. In 10 years, you're going to be paid off. Or maybe you've already consolidated your loans and they're in consolidation and maybe you're paying over 20 or 30 years. And your payment is your payment is your payment, right? It's a fixed rate. It's not adjusting. And whether you get married or not get married, you're going to have the exact same student loan payoff, right? Also, if you have private student loans, if you've had to get a student loan that's not through the federal government, maybe from a bank or, you know, like a Wells Fargo or Bank of America or something like that, getting married again is not going to impact your student loan payment. Your payment is already set up. And again, depending on the terms of your loan, your payment is your payment is your payment. Now, if you have a variable loan with a private lender, of course, your payments can increase, but that's not tied to you being married. That's just tied to interest rates and other factors like that. So again, it's really important to first start out with knowing what type of payment plan you're actually on, because that's really what's going to make the difference here. Now, if you're on one of these fancy, awesome new income-driven plans, then maybe getting married maybe will affect your plan or your payment. And then this is now when you should pay attention, all right? So a couple of questions to ask yourself. Is your future spouse earning more income than you? If the answer is yes, then your income-driven plan may be higher, because remember, it's based on income, which is good if your income is low, right? So we all want to be on these types of plans when our income is low, because our monthly payment is a percentage of our income. However, if we get married and our spouse has higher income, and then we file married filing jointly with our tax returns, then this will impact your loan. Because again, it's based off of earnings. And when you're kind of mushed together with your spouse, if they have a higher income, this can actually raise your student loan payment. And so these types of plans are the pay-as-you-earn, revised pay-as-you-earn, income-based repayment, and income-contingent repayment plan. Those are the plans that you need to really ask yourself these questions and take a look at your incomes to figure out where you're going to be. Now, the federal student aid, they have this awesome, I guess, site online where they talk about income-driven plans and all the FAQs. And I'm going to put a link to this because this is really, there's so much information here. I wanted to pull out so many different things to tell you about, but I'm just going to talk about a couple of them. And then, you know, if this does apply to you, go over to the link and really read this stuff in depth and see how this you know, pertains to you. So one of the questions that was asked in these FAQs was, will I always pay the same amount each month under an income-driven repayment plan? And the answer straight from the website was no. Under all of the income-driven repayment plans, your required monthly payment amount may increase or decrease if your family or income sizes changes from year to year. Each year, you must rectify your income and your family size. This means that you must provide your loan servicer with updated income and family size information so that your servicer can recalculate your payment. You must do this even if there has been no change in your income or family size. Your payment amount will be effective for the 12-month period after it's calculated. All right, so you basically got 12 months there if your payment has already been recalculated. If you get married somewhere in that time period, you got the remainder of that 12 months. Now, this was also interesting. So the question was, is my spouse's income included when my servicer determines my eligibility for an income-driven repayment plan or my monthly payment amount? Answer, it depends on the plan, again, of course, right? And for some plans, how you and your spouse file your federal income tax. Let me just read the one here for pay plans, income-based plans, and income contingent repayment plan. So the answer was, if you and your spouse file separate income tax returns, your loan servicer will use only your income when determining whether you qualify for the payment plan or the income-based repayment plan when calculating your monthly amount. If you and your spouse file a joint federal income tax return, your loan servicer will use your joint income when determining your eligibility for these plans and calculating your payment amount. However, only your individual income will be used to calculate your monthly payment amount if you are separated from your spouse or are unable to reasonably assess your spouse's income. In this case, you'll provide alternate documentation of your income, such as a pay stub. All right, so you kind of see how it works. If you get married and you file jointly, which most people do, then it will be, your payment will be determined based off of that joint income. So again, that's important to ask yourself the question, you know, where are we going to be at with our income and how is that going to change our payment plan? You know, and I've had couples ask me like, well, does that mean we shouldn't get married? I mean, that's a total personal decision. That's not a decision that I can certainly make for you. I'm not sure I would say don't get married just because of your student loan payment, but I'm also not in your situation and I'm not in your budget and I'm not in your bank account and I don't know any of those factors. So that's a really tough like brush to sweep over. So that's really why communicating with your spouse, your future spouse, about everything that has to do with money is so important. And I know these topics suck. It's not like you want to like, you know, spend a weekend going like, hey, let's talk all about our money stuff and how much money we owe and if we're going to be screwed or not screwed after we get married. I mean, these aren't fun topics. Nobody likes to like take time and talk about these. Even when you're seasoned pro and you know that you should talk about these topics, they're not fun to talk about. They make you want to like crawl in a hole basically, right? Because it just like opens Pandora's box for arguments, for frustrations, for you to feel bad or someone to make you feel guilty or, you know, all of those certain things. But it's so important to talk about these things because if you can navigate these before you get married and you can really be on the same page with your spending and your savings, and even down to a weekly basis, like, hey, what are we trying to achieve this week? You know, where are we at this week? It does really help to squash kind of the fire that erupts when talking about money. So people are always looking for loopholes, right? Well, can't we just file our tax returns separately and not have any of this issue? Well, for one, if you do file separately, you automatically cannot deduct the above-the-line student loan deduction. So you lose the ability, if you do married filing separately, to claim that deduction. Now, again, I'm not in your finances, so I don't know what makes most sense, right? Does it make sense for you to not have that student loan deduction, but to lower your student loan payment? I don't know. I don't know, right? That is really a question why question that you should have for a CPA or an accountant. Is it just another reason why, you know, if you're getting married, any year that you're getting married, I always say, you know, it's such a good idea to hire a certified financial planner or hire an accountant for that year, even just buy a couple hours to talk about these questions so that you have guidance like going into this and that you're not trying to like paddle backwards, because it's really hard to undo these things, right? Once you file married filings separately, you lose that deduction, period. It's done. It's over, right? It's in the can. It's done. It's over.
I'm going to be real with you. Identity theft is on the rise, and you do not want to wake up one morning and discover that your bank account has been emptied, or you're overdue on credit cards you never even applied for. We talk about this often on the podcast, but you don't realize how much of your information is available to scammers on the internet and how susceptible you and your family are to identity theft and fraud. I know it's scary, but now you can get your data removed with Delete Me. That's why I personally choose Delete Me. Delete Me is a subscription service that removes your personal information from the largest people search databases on the web, and in the process helps prevent potential ID theft, doxing, and phishing scams. I just started using Delete Me and I got my regular personalized privacy report. I was shocked what they found and removed. It was pages of information about me that I did not want online. Here's how it works. You sign up and provide Delete Me with exactly what information you want deleted, and their experts take it from there. I cannot tell you how relieved I felt to have Delete Me. And you know, it's also a great service for your parents or grandparents to help protect them from identity theft. Delete Me is not just a one-time service. Delete Me is always working for you, constantly monitoring and removing the personal information you do not want on the internet. Take control of your data and keep your private life private by signing up for Delete Me, now at a special price for my listeners. Today, get 20% off your Delete Me plan when you go to joindeleteme.com/ETM and use promo code ETM at checkout. The only way you get 20% off is to go to joindeleteme.com/ETM and enter code ETM at checkout. joindeleteme.com/ETM. Go to joindeleteme.com/ETM and use code ETM for 20% off. Okay, friend, I want to know, what are your money goals this year? Are you saving to buy a house or maybe a wedding or a dream vacation to somewhere tropical? If that's you, please, please take me with you. Or maybe you want to just grow your emergency fund because, let's be real, life is expensive. I want to make sure you reach your goals, so you need Monarch. That's why the Wall Street Journal named it the best app for growing your savings. Monarch is the top-rated, all-in-one personal finance app. It gives you a comprehensive view of all your accounts, investments, transactions, and more. You can create custom budgets, track progress towards your financial goals, and collaborate with your partner. And now, get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/ETM. Here's what I love. Monarch is the most customizable budgeting app. You can change the layout of your dashboard. You can go between light and dark mode. You can create custom budgets and notifications. You can set up all of these automatic rules for your transactions and notifications, and so much more. Monarch is obsessed with constantly improving their product. Get this. They release updates every 2 weeks, and they even allow customers to submit suggestions, vote on requested features, and view the product roadmap. This, my friend, is totally original. Plus, they will never sell your data to third party or show you ads. I think that's really important. After trying out Monarch for myself, I understand why it is the top-rated personal finance app. And now, listeners of this show get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/ETM. That's monarchmoney.com/ETM for your extended 30-day free trial.
So I just want you to think about these things and think about, you know, does the loophole, well, it's not really a loophole, right? But does the decision to do married file separately, does that actually make sense in my situation? And it's, again, it's more than just one isolated decision. So what do you do, right? What do you do if you're kind of in this debacle? Well, you know, a federal consolidation loan may help. You know, it may help just kind of smooth things out with your student loans. Again, a lot of the consolidation loans, they offer a longer period, payoff period, some as much as 30 years. And of course, while that's good because it lowers your monthly payment, the downside is that you end up paying a lot more in interest over that life of that loan. So if you pay that off in 30 years, you know, you're paying significantly more in interest than you would if you paid it off in even 20 years, right? So those are another, you know, couple of things you need to think about. I think if you do the loan consolidation where you're paying a lower payment over a longer period of time, you know, the year is really where you are making more money, where there is more disposable income, you know, really coming up with a strategy to dump more into your student loan payment, even if it's only, you know, an extra $50 or $100 a month, it starts to really make a lot of progress in your student loan payoff. You would be so surprised. You know, another idea is you can look at alternate financing with companies like SoFi. But again, if you refinance a federal loan with a private lender, you give up a lot of benefits in the future. If you want to go back to school and you want to, you know, have deferment on your student loans and things like that, you know, you give that up, right? Because you aren't with a federal loan anymore. You're with a private lender. Now, a lot of these lenders have great programs. Like SoFi's got a great program if you're an entrepreneur. And there are a lot of, you know, benefits to going to alternate refinancing. But this is not a one size fits all. This is really a decision that you have to make and make with your future spouse of, you know, just what makes most sense for, you know, our own particular situation. So again, you want to think about, okay, what is the income situation going to look like once we get married? Who has the student loan debt? Do we both have the student loan debt, or does just one of us have the student loan debt? What type of plan are we currently on? Because that's going to have a big impact as to whether getting married has an impact on your student loan payment. And then, you know, how much can we reasonably afford for student loan payoff, you know? And that just comes back to, again, knowing your numbers. That just comes back to having a really firm grasp over the income, which is the easy part. And then the expenses, which is the tough part. You know, what expenses are you going to have together? What is it going to look like together? You know, it's one thing to think about, okay, oh, I spend, you know, I'm just making this up. Let's say I spend $100 a week on groceries. And okay, so you know what most engaged couples do is like, all right, let's budget $100 for groceries. Well, you forget the fact that it's two people coming together, right? So that means two mouths you got to feed, and suddenly that $100 goes to $150 or $200 a week, and you don't account for that. So the budget can look super skewed, you know, until you actually start living together and you have a real sense of what you're spending. And it may be that one person ends up having more expenses than the other person. I mean, that is a really realistic scenario that happens in the majority of marriages. Again, it shouldn't come with guilt and shame and all of those terrible things. It's just the reality, and it just needs some sort of plan behind it, right? So all of these things just need a little forethought. Not, you know, if you're getting married, you're exciting. It's not like you have to spend hours and hours and hours debating these things, but a little forethought, a little thinking about strategy, a little thinking, asking questions, you know, of your future spouse. How do you think about this? How do you feel about this? You know, is this important to you? Is this not? And that really helps you come together and have a partnership mentality to your marriage and not just your kind of individual isolated views on things. That's really where all of the clashes come about, and the nasty arguments and the slinging words and insults and things like that, right? So I'm a huge fan of like, let's try and eliminate that as much as we can. So again, I'm going to provide a link to the Federal Student Aid Income-Driven FAQs. It's super packed full of some amazing question and answers. That would be my first place that I would start if I was you. And then I really wouldn't hesitate to do all the research you can, but also reach out to a professional, buy an hour of their time, ask their opinion of how this is going to actually impact your own situation. Because when it comes down to it, you can read a million different articles and you can have a million different opinions, but until you have someone look at your situation, you don't know what is actually going to work for you. And that's really, really, really important. All right. So as always, you can follow me on Twitter at Shauna Game, Instagram at millennial_money.
Everyone knows that putting money aside in savings is really important. But then what? Should you keep your savings locked in a CD for a higher rate or keep them liquid in a money market? Can your checking account help you save too? Or is it about creating the right combination? We believe real banking is a conversation. Let's talk about the savings options that are right for you. Learn more at sandyspringbank.com. Member FDIC.